I would like to invite all of the artists up here and open up the session to questions and answers. Does anybody in the audience have any questions that they would like to ask any or all the artists? Well, I guess this session has been sort of a new thing for us in terms of presenting, and we were really interested in trying to open up our public programming for the collection. We thought that this would be a really unique and great way to do it, and we were curious to hear the feedback from the artists about this form of presentation, because I can imagine, especially if you're trying to encompass 20 years or only a couple, it's really a time test, and I was curious to know how this type of presentation made you reconsider some of the works, or looking back to older works that you've done, or in terms of trying to abbreviate, like how you really think about what you're doing.
I definitely think it's pretty intense, I'll say that, trying to pack everything into 20 seconds when obviously the works are pretty involved and we spend a lot of time, or I do, I'm sure we all do, working on them and thinking about them. So it's a challenge, and I think it's good to try to be able to describe what you're talking about in a short amount of time. With myself, I tend to, like, when I'm talking about a work, kind of go off on tangents and ramble on. This is, like, very concise and very, this is what it is. I have this amount of time. So, yeah, I would say intensity.
two mics. For me, it was actually it's a very beautiful structure, almost like when you have a grid, and then they say you don't go beyond that grid. But may I? No. It sort of gave me something with which to begin building. I found it to be a very beautiful kind of an elegant kind of structure.
I like it because it's really like a dialogue, because you have all of us up together. But I have to say, preparing for it, no matter how long the length of an oral presentation, I was just thinking, I never, ever, ever speak while I'm drawing. So in that sense, it's always kind of a slightly foreign medium if it's a lecture format.
I guess I found it challenging. Because once I sort of made the decision of, okay, I'm going to add another 20 and just like pick, my original idea was to pick a piece for each year from the past 20 years. But then I was faced with the fact that, like, you make a lot of work in 20 years. And also, like, I work in various formats and various medias, and I became a little overwhelmed by the whole thing, but I was determined to push on through. So it was kind of a fun way of doing a really quick edit of my life.
Sorry. It was hard, but I like to give artist talks where I don't prepare at all, where I just do it off the top of my head. I don't know what I said. I didn't have time to think or listen to myself at all. I just talked. So, and I did this thing of doing a detail shot with every painting so that I could talk for 40 seconds instead of 20. It was kind of cheating.
I don't need it. My question is, in terms of the research that you do with these girls, do you go and interview them, spending a long time talking to them and drawing them on site, and then do another drawing, or how does that work?
No. My first, this is always an sort of typical question that comes, but my first answer is I am not a social worker. I'm an artist. Every bit of information I use is totally in the public realm. Also, as far as images are concerned, what you didn't really see here is all of those drawings are built from collages that actually I have never exhibited. But those collages are built from a conglomeration of real photography that I can find, whatever I can find in the public realm of these people, collaged with photography that I make, fashion photography. I was relating a lot to what Chloe was saying about the deformity of fashion photography. So it's basically all information that's available to anyone. Does that kind of answer? I mean, another aspect of that is, like, people are like, oh, did you ask their permission? Do you talk to them? Blah, blah, blah. The one thing that's a little hard in this kind of format is that, for me, it's not so much about the, like, specificity of each individual case, but it's about the fact that this is a huge recurring tendency. I have, like, 42 of these cases. And so for me, what I'm interested in is the phenomena of the incident and its kind of, like, wide-reaching tendency.
No, it's interesting because it has a feeling of you getting into their head and into their world in some way. So
that happens in the drawing, because the drawing take months and months and months and months to do. So, like, you know, it is a very contemplative thing. And so I do get in their head, or they get in mine.
If you think about the ideal situation in which someone would encounter your work for the first time, pause and reflect on that for a second. What would you like that person's three visual experiences to have been? That would be the ideal things for them to have had visual experiences with, like another artist or any kind of an experience before they, that would provide, in your mind, the best context for understanding what you're doing.
Three aspects, or what they would take away?
No, anything that they might have seen.
Uh-huh. Like, if you could have the world to provide as a context, choose, mm-hmm. like, maybe if they just saw three other artists, and that's who you would hope they'd have seen before they looked at your work, and that would provide for them the best context for seeing yours. Or maybe it would be a bubblegum machine. I mean, whatever. What would be the three ideal visual experiences to provide a context for encountering your work for the first time?
Oh, wow, I don't know. That's hard. I think I consider myself, a lot of my stuff is like pop culture imagery. So I guess just being, I get a lot of people ask me, like a lot of my text pieces I've been asked before, like, well, why don't you try to do it in another language or something like that? And I was like, well, I'm an American artist and this is what I know and this is what I'm familiar with. And it's about sincerity and being real with my work. So if I tried to do it in something else, it's almost like faking it. So I guess just being familiar with, you know, the current events, politics, what's going on. I think in one of my artist statements I listed all of these artists that influenced me, and then at the end I said the Washington Post and Marvel Comics. So I think it's my experiences, but I want them to be relatable, and that's what I'm hoping that they'll take away.
Sort of like I live in a 7th floor walk up in Chinatown, and I think the trip up from the first floor all the way up to the top, which is where I am, is a pretty good context. It's a very old building, so you sort of are climbing, really working hard to get to the top, and then finally when you get to the top, you open this door which you can actually break down easily. And then I like showing the work in its simplest context, which is how I see them, which is on my drawing table with a lamp, a yellow lamp, which can be a white lamp, but just a very, very simple kind of experience like that. And then I might serve coffee or just the simplest kind of context. That to me is ideal. Because the thing I know about how people approach my work is that a lot depends, how you take in my work depends a lot on who you are, where you come from, what your history is, what your background is, and where you're going. You know, the kinds of questions that you ask. So that's it. Well, the thing is, if you put a dot between my name, Renato, and Orara, so it's Renato.Orara, and then you put @gmail.com after. Then you can email me and arrange a studio visit. I'd be happy to have you over. I make good coffee.
That is a really difficult question to answer. I can say that the first image that I took away was when I was little and I showed you the Isenheim altarpiece. I was 7 or younger, and it wasn't actually from the panel of Christ. It was from the panel of the Temptation of St. Anthony, which is St. Anthony is an old man with a really long, tricked-out beard and some hair that's being pulled in many directions by various super fantastic, amazing-looking demons. And when I was little, I thought that was just incredible. And I asked my mom if I could remember it or have something from it. So we bought a postcard, and I got to keep that image. And that was the first image that I took for myself growing up.
I don't know if I can answer that question. I would like people to have seen documentation of Lamont Young's composition 1960, which was draw a line, follow it, and repeat it 29 times. I think that says really a lot about drawing and about like the immensity of drawing and the task of drawing. I love, you know, Gerhard Richter's whatever it is, October 18th, 19. It's in your collection. I don't know the right date. It's the Bader-Meinhof work. Other than that, I'm like, bring your own experience.
I guess I want people to see something that you can't see in a JPEG, like to see the physicality of the paintings and to wonder how they're made, I guess, because there's a lot of layers in my work that if you don't know how they're made, I think it's pretty mysterious. And I'm most happy if people get up like 6 inches away from my paintings and look at them that close. And if they don't, I don't think that they're really experiencing it the full way. And I guess I want people to feel like there's a relevance, whether they're offended or whether they feel sympathetic to what I'm doing in the paintings. I want them to experience something that's relevant to their own experience, I guess. I think that's 2 things or more. I'm not sure.
I originally started working with the sort of transparency of the clothing when the drawings were very simple, when it was just singular portraits of individual girls. It was a very conscious choice about revealing their sexuality, because as I did more and more and more and more research, it became really evident that one of the underlying catalysts to these murders were, in fact, these adolescent girls' budding sexuality. And at the same time, it was often the reverse with the mom. The mom was getting older. She was losing her sort of like social value as a sexual object. So I felt that this sexualization was really important for the drawings. Then, as the drawings have become more complicated, the layers of time, there's chronology that like happens kind of like in a Renaissance, early Renaissance painting, where there's like lots of events happening at the same time in one drawing. The transparency has become a way of like showing time overlapping and almost like movement. So that's why you start to see the sexuality, you start to see the transparency in more complicated ways. But there's also like transparency as far as the male body is concerned too, because as some of these instances become more complicated and more, they branch out from just the dichotomy of like the mom versus the daughter. The males get involved in that too, so they should be on the same level.
I wonder if you could say something with reference to censorship in the United States, particularly with regard to the use of the U.S. flag?
Yeah, I felt like during the Bush administration, our civil liberties and our freedom of speech were so under attack that it was really important to use my freedom of speech as liberally as possible. And I felt like it was a responsibility for me as an American artist at that time to do that.
Not specifically with regard to your work, but on the whole, in terms of censorship, where do you think things stand in the U.S.? I mean, did you have any problems, for instance?
One person came to the gallery and said one thing, but everybody else that was maybe offended by the idea probably walked in and walked right out. But there was a lot of, people were pretty sympathetic with that body of work. And it's, of course it's in the art world. It's not, this was in a Chelsea gallery, and right now it's here at MoMA. And if this went up in maybe a public institution in middle America or something, it might be more offensive. But I think, my work on those flags was all about considering those issues. And if those issues would come up, I think it would be healthy. I'm not sure if I know what you're asking exactly. Like the issue of censorship in our country concerning the flag.
For instance, in India, we have a great deal of censorship. You could never do something like that. So I wondered if there is, so much freedom that you can just go ahead and do whatever you like and nobody would object. I mean, things have happened here also with Chris O'Feely's work. There was a problem once, if I recall.
I was surprised at how little people seemed offended, actually.
I would just like to address that for a second, because I don't know if you can remember, but in a couple of the early images I showed you, there was a Grand Fury poster of same-sex couples kissing on the sides of buses. We ran into, that was done, I think, in 1988. We ran into a lot of censorship issues around that image and about videos we made for MTV using that as a theme. That poster was banned in a lot of American cities because it was supposed to be on the sides of buses throughout the cities. In Chicago, it was actually allowed to be on the buses, but a group of ministers got together and went to the bus depot and painted out all the images. The Venice Biennale picture with the Pope on it, that was an installation at Aperto in 1990. The government took our artwork from customs and would not give it to us for the opening of the Biennale because there was a rumor going around that we had a picture of testicles with the Pope's face on it, which I was like, I wish I was that creative. But we had to basically stage a sit-in in the director's office to get the work back. And he gave it back to us but said, we do not have the same freedom of speech laws in Italy as you do in America. And this work, before it can go on the wall, has to be judged by magistrates from the church to clarify that this work is not heretical, that you are not heretics. If, however, they decide this work is heretical, you have to go to jail. So we were like, okay. And I just have to say, in MoMA's defense, Linda Scherer, who used to work here as a curator, she actually recommended us to the Aperto committee. I was the only female in the collective. If we had gone to jail, I would have had to go to jail by myself. Linda Scherer came to the magistrate's meeting with her purse packed with toilet paper in case I got arrested. She was like, I'm going to jail with you if you get arrested. Long story short, the church magistrates looked at the work. They said, well, we don't think it's very good artwork, but it's not heretical. So I actually personally have had a lot of crisscross with censorship, but I have to tell you, it was more in the 80s than now. Even this last Bush regime, which was not really great about support for freedom of speech, etc., there were still, look at television. We could not put two same-sex couple people kissing on MTV in 1989. But while the second Bush was in office, look at what was on television. You know, it was just like insane. Well, it wasn't insane, but to me, to see that, like, that arc of development just from a public standpoint was kind of amazing. All right, I'll shut up.
Michael, you talked about your drawings and the process. I was thinking about the one where you had to write that sort of punishment line again and again, and you sort of talk and you sort of think about the process of you doing that on that paper, but yet you sort of made the statement that you think of the works as actual objects and not necessarily drawing, and I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, maybe your process.
Well, the process starts, like I said before, I create the notebook paper at this grand scale, and I'll spend usually several weeks just drawing lines, cutting holes, and making these blank sheets of paper. And I'll have them sitting on the floor of my studio just kind of piling up. And during that time, I'm thinking about my ideas and what's, you know, going to go on top of them. So that's like the very mechanical side of my process, my personality. And then once that's done and I'm ready to start with the actual drawings, that's kind of the other side of my personality. And it's going back and, like, kind of not ruining, but I like to think I'll mess up these pristine things that I've tried to create. And I get enjoyment out of that. But they're also, I work on the floor, so it's a very physical task. So it is drawing, but then the scale and how I treat them, I drag them around my studio, I kind of throw them around, I tear them, I rip them, trying to make them, you know, taking these precious art objects and making them not precious as they would be if they were just like the real deal, the real scale, and that's kind of you know, these mass-produced things that nobody really thinks about. They're throwaway. So I'm trying to meld the two, I guess, together and saying that this is fine art. It's going to hang on a wall or it's going to be on the floor, but it's been treated the same way as you would its smaller cousin. So they become more sculptural because they are the lines are also drawn on the back as well, so they're torn, ripped, crumpled, just kind of disposed of. So they kind of come off the wall. So they're not traditional drawing in the sense. So I could call them sculptures. I say I go to the studio and I draw, but they're not really drawings in my mind anymore. They're just art things.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
This is a question for Renato, and I wonder if you could expand upon your ideas of public and private in your work with the playing between, you know, choosing the library books, the public format, and then putting your private or your drawing and hiding it in the books for the public to discover. And it kind of, I've seen it kind of carrying over with your choosing the war and then using the names, but making it more private by making it more obscure and abstract. And how does that carry into your work, and if you could expand on that?
Well, one of the things about this whole experience was it made me look at my work as it spans 20 years. And one of the things that I noticed was that I tend to be drawn to things that contradict one another. So the private and the public are contradictions, no? And then I also realized that the thing about the title of my piece, 10,000 Things That Breathe, has to do with you have 10,000 things, which basically means infinity, all things in the universe. And yet I'm drawing one object, you know, and that's my whole universe. So there's, again, that other contradiction. And then the contradiction between words and the blank page. And there are all these opposites that tend to meet, to have a meeting place in my work. And so one of the things that I wondered about was why, what's the attraction to these opposites? Maybe inherently we tend to have all those opposites within us, no? But, well, one of the things, one of the answers that came to me was that it's when you bring two opposites or two things that seem to be unable to exist at the same time in the same point. It's when you bring these two things together that, or two states together, that your mind tends to stop. No? That point at which the mind stops, that's something that is very much an important part of my work. It's in that space where everything is possible, where you're able to let things merge, where you're able to see very, very clearly. I mean, when I guess in Zen or Taoist literature, its equivalent is, they say, when you empty the cup, or when you have a beginner's mind, then you can fill it with things. You know? So maybe that's where I'm coming from. But I don't spend too much time looking into these things. I just do things. I sort of have a feeling for what to work on next by the fact that at some point the images appear in the back of my mind, and then I feel compelled to follow a drawing to its end. That's basically what I do. Does that answer your question? Oh. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you all for coming to our session. There's going to be another Kucha next Thursday, but I just want to thank all of the artists here that came to participate today. Thank you.